Spirit of Christ, we are grateful that you have gathered us in many ways, but in particular here in this place, this morning. Thank you for the gift of each other as community. Thank you for the gift of your word and the opportunity to reflect and to pray and to sing so that we might be formed more fully and deeply into your image. Be with Dale and help us to hear and reflect into what you would have for us this morning in Christ. Amen.
From Mount Hor, they sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest the miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because the Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced."
And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was really disappointed that my shipment of snakes did not arrive in time for me to hand one to each of you. I'm afraid you're going to have to make do with your imaginations for the time being. A service on ecumenical snake handling. And on St. Patrick's Day, a day we celebrate with levity and green beer. Some of you may not be familiar with the story of St. Patrick. Don't worry, I'm going to tie these in by the end. But for now, I want to welcome each of us into a space of encounter and invitation, that we will see that the room is not without snakes, and that we ourselves are indeed handling these snakes on a daily basis, that we are called to be snake handlers, that snake handling itself is an ecumenical discipline for any and all to engage in. Those of you who don't know me, I am a transfer student from Denver. I don't really have any experience with snake handling in a literal sense. I'm not incredibly charismatic by any means. I'm Mennonite. I sing hymns. I didn't know why I felt this urge for snake handling until about a week ago, when I realized that there were places in my life where I had allowed poisons of sin to creep in, that I had allowed individuals to act as snakes rather than brothers and sisters, and that I needed to learn how to handle those snakes with care and with love, to be able to raise up an image of Christ-like love to those in my community. So, ecumenical snake handling. Why would I go so far as to call this ecumenical, something that invites any and all, something that is such a rare practice and doesn't seem very spiritual to those of us who haven't experienced it firsthand, something that seems a little odd and a little strange? Let's begin our journey in the wilderness. The story we just heard from Numbers, we're walking alongside the Israelite people. We've journeyed out of Egypt. We're gone from that land, and here we are in the wilderness in a formative place, in a place in which we can learn to trust God, and a place that sucks. It is a place with either no food and water or crappy food. The food that we have, we don't like. There's not much here to enjoy. And so the people begin to respond in a very human manner. I really loved verse 5. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food, no water, and we detest this miserable food. Isn't that such a human thing? We're obviously not in crisis. We have food. We have water. We will live. But it just doesn't taste that good. We don't really enjoy it. And so we go to our leaders and we say, we want change. We want you to fix this for us. Make this better. That is such a thing. It's such a human thing that we do. Those of you who are parents may relate well to this. Your children don't want to eat their veggies. They want chocolate. They want sweets. They want junk food. They don't want green, healthy vegetation that will help them to grow, will nurture their bodies. They detest and they protest against the very nourishment they need to survive. They protest against what the father and what the mother are giving them. They strike back. And so it was that God, being a very reasonable, patient parent, listens to all the whining and the complaining, and he dumps poisonous serpents in amongst the people, like you do. I had a lot of trouble with that passage initially. I prefer to think of God as a loving, nurturing God. God is the one that gives me what I need, who will give me what I need. He is not the God who tests me. God is not the one who leads me into these hard places. Clearly, these hardships are of the world. They're of sin. Surely, God only gives good things. And yet, we read that God is a God who can hand out difficulties, who can hand out strife, so that God's glory at some point will be magnified through the healing. God knows best. So the people's complaints and discontent with the Almighty's leadership are replaced. These become a very reasonable outcry. Snakes! Oh God, snakes! Everywhere. Everywhere snakes who are biting and poisoning the people. The people are suffering and dying because of this curse that they have brought on themselves. So they go to Moses and they explain, we messed up, we goofed. It's okay, we'll go back to the crappy food. It's all right, just get rid of the snakes. So Moses, being the intercessor that he is, goes and prays for the people. Prays to God that a cure would be found, that he would just take these snakes away and the people would suffer no more. So God says to Moses, make a poisonous serpent, set it up on a pole, and everyone who's bitten will look on it and live. This seems like the most absurd advice you can give someone in the middle of an outbreak or an attack or any kind of trauma. How on earth do you want me to do an arts and crafts project when the people are dying? It's just absurdity. And yet, Moses trusts God. And so he creates this image and he raises it up, a bronze serpent for the people to look upon and live. In the midst of death, in the midst of all this poison, God provides a cure. I'm going to hold this rubber snake up since we don't have the real thing. It's what we're going to have to make do with. It even has a rattle, which is slightly intimidating. This image, this snake that we so feared that has given us death, is now our source of life. To look upon this is to live. Here is your cure. That which has been the curse is now your salvation. Look and live. The people do so, and those who were bitten are healed. Those who were poisoned are cured. You are made well through the thing which was your demise. Some of you are going to make the connection in reading this of Christ's actions, of being raised up for us, of taking sin upon himself and becoming the curse to also be the cure. It's a very confusing way of looking at healing, but it's also very fitting for snakes and for sin. These serpents give the venom, which kill the people. Doctors take that venom, they make an anti-venom, and they heal people. In the same way, God takes an image of death and gives life through it. In John 3:14-15, Jesus himself makes the connection for us, proclaiming that to look upon the Son of Man lifted up, believe in him, is to receive eternal life, a cure from the final death of sin and suffering that follows in judgment. We even read the immediate effects of looking upon the Son of Man just a few chapters later in John 19, which a guard pierces Jesus' side, and in seeing this, immediately begins to testify, immediately is able to see what God is doing through him. So what do I mean when I say we are to become snake handlers? When I say that all of us, an ecumenical group of people, may be snake handlers? To lift up the image of suffering and death, so that those who look upon it may be healed. I mean that we are to be bearers of the Christ image, that we are to be so absorbed in walking in Christ-like love and forgiveness that we extend to those around us a grace that frees them from the soul poison that comes from a lifestyle controlled by sin. And why have I chosen to bring this message on St. Patrick's Day? For those of you who don't know the story, St. Patrick in legend is shown as a hero driving the snakes from Ireland. Now, modern science has tell us that this is a complete farce, that indeed there are never any snakes in Ireland, that because of the Ice Age, they never could have been there to begin with. So why is he given this honor? The reason is because St. Patrick saw those who were different, those who bore different beliefs, different lifestyles, and different practices as snakes. They were the ones poisoning the community, and it was his mission to drive them out of Ireland so that it would become a Christian nation. The Emerald Isle would be a place of healing and love for only the Christ followers, not for those who were different in their midst. Clearly, they could not be healed of their poison. What I call us to is not this, brothers and sisters. I do not call us to drive forth those who are different, but rather to see those differences as human, as fellow inflicted. For indeed, all of us have been bitten. All of us are envenomed, and we are blind to the serpents in our midst. They crawl into our hearts and into our minds through sin, suffering, and pain. The wounds which we have left untreated have become poison. They have poisoned our blood and left us hurting, a hurt that spreads from person to person that can only be stopped through a Christ-like image of love, by looking upon the one that is raised up, by looking upon the Christ image. Now, obviously, we don't have crosses everywhere, and every time we look on one, we aren't necessarily going to see love and healing. So how can we craft a Christ image for those around us, for those who are suffering from this poison, and how can we find that image for ourselves so that we would be healed, so that we do not further spread this affliction, but instead become intercessors as Moses was, praying for the people, bringing the people a cure. My first response is that we must walk in love and humility, to walk as Christ image bearers, to not be so haughty and so proud of ourselves that we forget that we are saved from our sin and from this poison, this vile death, by the one who died on the cross, the one who took on sin and became the image of sin, in order to save us. He who is blameless died for us. What was the curse has become the cure. To know this is to be cured yourself. So when we accept our own poisoning, we begin to pray and intercede for those around us, for our communities. We become agents of healing, or snake handlers. We begin to pull away those serpents that we find in our day-to-day life. We pull them out of the hearts, out of the minds of those we encounter through love, through dialogue and through discussion, through constantly and insistently showing this Christ image of reconciliation, of self-sacrifice, and of giving. Finally, we step forward in faith, knowing that even should we mess up, should we become afflicted, we are to look upon the Christ image, both literally when we see worship together and see a cross in front of us, and figuratively through one another. We hold one another accountable in humility and in community as Christ image bearers, so that when I fall short, my brother or my sister can call me on it, and I can see in them that image of Christ that saves me from death and sin, that I realize that they are the cure, they're bringing the cure, that they themselves are not the cure, but that they have received the cure from Christ, that in seeing him, they can now portray his actions in love, that they can help me with my poisoning, with my pain and my disease. And because I love to mix metaphors, we act as doctors in the midst of an outbreak, bringing the cure of Christ's love and a new kingdom to a world desperately afflicted. We recognize that St. Patrick mistook those who were different as the snakes, that those who we meet who are different from ourselves are not the serpent, but they are fellow afflicted in need of the Christ cure poured out in love and by example. In this, we are more than conquerors. We are healers for a sick and dying world, holding out the last hope, not through our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit moving in us to live in a Christ-like lifestyle that we could not choose on our own, but only through the cure of Christ raised up on the cross. My call for you is to go out from this place unafraid, to go out from this place to receive healing, ready to open that healing to any and all, to be an ecumenical group of serpent handlers, to wrangle in these snakes that exist in our community, in our churches, in those that we love and in those that we hate and in ourselves, that we would see the serpents for what they are, those attitudes of division, those attitudes of hatred that come between us and prevent us from showing love to one another. That we would address them in Christ-like love and humility to show an image which brings healing. Again, not through us, so that none can boast, but through the power of God Almighty, through Christ who became sin, took it on himself, and yet was sinless, and has become our cure. Go forth in compassion, drive out the snakes of injustice and hurt that dwell within the hearts of all, and you will see the Spirit of God accomplish much through you. Amen.
Bless you, Dale, for inviting us into these passages in this unique way as we handle the snakes around us in an ecumenical way. What are we looking at and appropriating in our lives? How do we re-present an image to others, finding healing for ourselves and healing for the pain of the world? Let's move to a time of confession. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 697. O Prince of Peace, from peace that is no peace, from the grip of all that is evil, from a violent righteousness. From a paralysis of will, from lies and misnaming, from terror of truth. From hardness of heart, from trading in slaughter, from the worship of death. By the folly of your gospel, by your choosing our flesh, by your nakedness and pain. By your weeping over the city, by your refusal of the sword, by your facing of horror. By your bursting from the tomb, by your coming in judgment, by your longing for peace. Grant us peace. Amen.
Go forth from this place empowered to wrangle and handle the snakes and serpents in your midst. May you be brave and courageous to face these serpents as they come. May you have the wisdom and discernment to know those who have been poisoned and to offer them the Christ image and Christ cure of healing. Go forth as healers into the world to make right that which has been brought in through sin. Amen.